to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll begin out this evening. Talk to you just a few minutes about stirring up our remembrance or being stirred up by remembrance. Remembrance means reminding or recollecting. It's not that you don't know, it's not that I don't know, or that we haven't heard, it's just that we need to be reminded. Now look what the Bible says here in 2 Peter chapter 1. Let me find my place. 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse number 12. Peter said, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them." It's not that they didn't know. "Though you know them and be established in the present truth." Look at verse 13. "Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." Now, come to chapter 3 for just a moment. Chapter 3, look at verse number 1. "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, and which I both stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." Now, in this short little epistle of Peter, only three small chapters, the word remembrance is mentioned four times. Let's pray together. We'll talk about a few things concerning the introduction, and then we'll share the sermon with you. Father, thank you for the Bible and the opportunity to be in church tonight. Thank you for this these folks who have gathered together to be with us in the house of the Lord this afternoon. I pray that you would use us and help us to speak truth from your word. Use us, Lord, to be a blessing and encouragement to God's people. And help us to remember, Lord, I need to be reminded. I pray you would help us, and we'll sure thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, just a few brief comments about the book of 2 Peter without going into any kind of great detail. We're not going to do a discourse on the book of 2 Peter at this time, but the content of 2 Peter, this letter was written by Peter shortly before his death, and it deals with the problems that he saw in the people and the believers that would remain after his departure. So he encourages the believers to continue in their spiritual growth and to continue realizing the truth that is in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it does not consist of fables, but facts. I'm glad we have the Word of God, and it's a book of facts, amen. It's a book of truth. It is. The Word of God is truth, amen. And so he warns them of false teachers that would destroy the truth or try to destroy the truth that they had been taught, and they would do that by exalting their own ideas over the Word that they had been taught. Can I remind you that there's going to be a constant bombardment by the world and by the flesh and by the devil and by religious people to get us to fall from our steadfastness in what thus saith the Lord. It's nothing new. It is something that's been going on for a long, long time and continues even today. So finally, Peter will point out that Christ will return someday and he's going to destroy the old order of this world, and as a result, we should not become too attached to the world. So that's just a little bit of the content. Now here's the theme of 2 Peter. 2 Peter is a call to steadfastness in the midst of numerous pressures to drift from the truth. And so this world is seeking to undo the work of God, but we must resist that temptation. We must resist that pull. We must resist that pressure and continue to live godly lives that are pleasing to the Lord. We need to continue believing that God's word is true. We need to continue enduring persecution. We need to continue trusting God. And we need to continue looking for Christ to return. He's going to return one day, and it could be very soon. Now, I can give a very brief outline, just an overview outline of 2 Peter. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, we see the great Christian virtues. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 15, through the end of the chapter, we see that the scriptures are exalted. In chapter number 2, we see a warning against apostate teachers. And then in chapter number 3, the second coming of Christ and the day of Jehovah. Now look again at our text verse, if you will, in verse number 12 of 2 Peter chapter 1. It says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth." So Peter said, I know that you know these things, but I'm going to continue to remind you. We need a continual reminding. I don't know about you, I tend to forget a lot anymore, but even if I have not forgotten those things, I need to be continually encouraged and reminded to do those things that are pleasing to the Lord. You say, why is that, preacher? Well, because my flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I need to be encouraged to continue in the things of the Lord. Now, verse number 13, notice this. Yea, I think it meet. Now, the context of the word meet here in verse number 13 means necessary. Now, I'm certainly not in any way, I would never try to change the Bible or anything like that at all whatsoever. But Peter says here, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. So, if the word means necessary in the context here, Peter is telling us that it is necessary that as long as we are here in this tabernacle, in the body of the flesh, that we need to be stirred up by putting you in remembrance. I tell you, God's people need stirring up concerning the things of the Lord. Now, Peter, can I just say, I believe it is necessary for God's children to be reminded, and then we need to be stirred up. Look at the end of verse 13, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. I like this definition for the word stir. It means to move. It means to agitate. It means to incite to action. It means to excite or to be in motion. Not to be still. I tell you, there's a large number of God's people that need to be stirred up by being put in remembrance. Amen. And so may the Lord help us to be stirred up concerning the things of the Lord. Now, look at chapter 3. Look at this. Chapter 3, I read this verse as well. Verse number 1. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 1, the Bible says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." Now, we notice that this word stir is used again. We need to be stirred up. We need to be excited to action. We need to be mobile. We need to be moving, not staying still in our Christian life. So now Peter's desire is to stir up your pure minds. Now, I believe that this has to do with a sincere mind or a genuine mind. Now, let me show you this. Come to Philippians chapter 2. I wonder if the reason that there are so little stirring among God's people in our day is because our minds are not pure. He said, I want to stir up your pure minds. Now, notice what the Bible has to say, or how the Bible describes, I believe, a pure mind. Look at Philippians chapter 2. The Bible says in verse number 1, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus." Now, there's a lengthy list mentioned here in these five verses, and we're not going to go into them in great detail. I just want to point out a few of them to you. First of all, this pure mind is the mind that is in Christ. We see that in verse number 9, verse number 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ." Now, we learn from these verses of Scripture that it is a mind that not only loves others, but it seeks to be in one accord with them. So it's a mind that loves others and is not trying to cause division or separation. It is a mind that is in one accord. We also see that it is a mind that is not seeking to cause strife. You see that? "For you, my joy, to be like-minded, having the same love, being in one accord with mine." Verse 3, Let nothing be done through strife. So it's not a mind that is causing division. It's not a mind that is causing strife. It's not a mind that's causing problems or vainglory. And so not only is this pure mind a mind that is a mind of love, it is a mind that has a desire for unity and being of one accord. It is a mind that does not seek to cause division or strife. It does not seek vainglory. It is a mind that is not looking for self-promotion, self-exaltation, or to be put upon a pedestal so that they could be seen or that they could be recognized. It is a pure mind. It is a mind that esteems others better than themselves. We see that in verse number 4, and a mind that looks out for others. So it is a pure mind. He said, Paul said, Peter said, I keep getting Peter and Paul messed up anytime I preach from the book of Peter. But Peter is talking about stirring up our pure minds by way of remembrance. Now, there's one more passage that I would like to reference concerning this pure mind, and it's a reference to the same mind. Come to 1 Peter. You're in 2 Peter, or you can hold your place in 2 Peter. We're going back. But come to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, we have a reference to the same mind. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 1. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. And so this mind has to do with not living out our lives just pleasing the flesh, but we are to live out our lives in such a way that is the pleasing to the will of God. And I'm afraid that we get so caught. And I understand there's numerous things in this world that we must take care of and be involved in. I understand all of that. But it seems that there's a large number of folks in our days that are simply living for self. They have no desire to live for God. Now, let's look at some things. Here's the sermon. All that was introduction. I want to look at some things that are important for us to remember as believers. Now, if we were to do this through the Bible, it would be a tremendous list. But just from the book of 2 Peter, I think I have six things just from the book of 2 Peter that I think would do us extremely well to remember. Now, first of all, and all of these are simple, but that's the whole point of remembering. It's not that we don't know, it's that we need to be reminded. And so, first of all, we need to remember God's Word. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. We're in verse number 1 again. 2 Peter chapter 3, look at verse number 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be, now notice this phrase, mindful of the words which were spoken by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. So he said, be mindful of the words. And then he talks about the holy prophets. That would be the Old Testament scripture. Then he talks about the apostles. That would be the New Testament scripture. So we are to be mindful of the Word of God. When we're making choices, decisions, we ought to be mindful of the Word of God. When we're standing up for Christ, when we're being a witness, we should be mindful of the Word of God. When we're trying to direct our lives concerning the things of the Lord, we ought to be mindful of the Word of God. When we're dealing with others, we should be mindful of the Word of God. Remember God's Word. Now, look at 2 Peter. We're in 2 Peter. Look at chapter 1 again. Look at verse number 19. Great verses of Scripture, verses 19 and 20. The Bible says in verse number 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in our hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. And so here in verse number 19, the Bible says us that we do well if we take heed to the Word of God. So not only should we be mindful of His words, not only should we remember the Word of God, we saw in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 2, but we should also take heed to the Word of God. We do well if we take heed. So in our remembrance of God's Word, we're to be mindful and we're also to take heed. Now, notice this in verse number 2 here, 2 Peter chapter 1, I should say verse number 19. Look what he says. Notice this verse. You do well that you take heed. Yes, it's in chapter 1, verse 19. You do well that you take heed. Do you want to do well? Then don't just remember God's word. Take heed to it. In other words, Brother Tommy Nichols, this past Monday night at the camp meeting rally service at White Plains, he done a tremendous job preaching, and he talked about taking heed or being obedient. Don't just be a hearer, be a doer of the word of the Lord. Tremendous message. And so this is the same thing. We do well that we take heed. A lot of times we know what the Bible says, but then we do something else. God help us to take heed to His word. So number one, we're to remember God's word. Now come back to 2 Peter chapter 3. Number two, we are to remember that there will always be scoffers and false prophets. Look at verse number 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. And so there are scoffers. Those are folks who mock or ridicule, or they make fun of those who desire to serve the Lord. Now, this is nothing new. These scoffers have always been around, and they're going to continue to be around. But that should not stop us from serving the Lord. We know that those scoffers are there. Remember that they're there. But continue being faithful to the things of God, regardless of what the scoffers say. Amen. Now, look at chapter 2. We're still in 2 Peter. Look at chapter 2, verse number 1. The Bible says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false prophets among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Now, remember that there are not only scoffers, but there are also false prophets and false preachers that are teaching damnable heresies, even denying Christ, that paid for their redemption if they would receive it. Now, unfortunately, many follow their pernicious ways, the Bible says, in verse number 2, and the word pernicious means destructive, or having the quality of killing, destroying, or injuring. And so these false teachers, these false prophets, they're teaching things that are not in line with what thus saith the Lord. They are heresies, they're damnable doctrines, and the Bible says that they are destructive. They're not just harmful, they're destructive, amen. They kill and destroy. May God help us. Listen, the only way to combat false doctrine is to know pure doctrine or true doctrine. And so, well, that's why it's so important for us to learn the Bible, know what the Bible says. You won't be so weird. I think one passage of Scripture talks about being so easily moved or going back and forth by false doctrine. We shouldn't be so easily moved, amen. We ought to know what the Bible says, believe what the Bible says, trust what the Bible says, and rely on what the Bible says, amen, instead of being wishy-washy. So remember that there are always scoffers and false prophets. Stand up for the Lord anyway. Don't be ashamed of what the Bible teaches to be truth. Now, number 3, remember that we're on God's time, not our own time. Look at verse number 8. Verse number 8, 2 Peter chapter 3, look at verse number 8. We're on God's time, not our time. The Bible says this, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Now, there's a lot of doctrinal stuff and things, context. We could talk about that and different things, and all those would be the case. But just something practical this afternoon. I want to say this. God's timing is not our timing. One day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Man, our short little 70 years, if we live that long or able to live a little longer than that, is just a very short time on God's clock. And so just because He hasn't come yet doesn't mean He isn't coming. He's not on our time scale. He's on His time scale. Just because those prayers that you've been praying has not yet been answered doesn't mean that they're not going to be answered. This is on God's time, not on our time. just because that loved one that you've been praying for is not yet saved. That doesn't mean they're not going to get saved. It's on God's time, not our time. Just because that financial need that you have has not yet been met doesn't mean that God's not going to meet it. It's on His time, not our time. That job situation, that family situation, that spiritual need, whatever the case may be, just because it has not yet come to pass does not mean that it's not going to. We're on God's time. It'll happen in His time, not our time. Amen. So what do we do? What do we do during this time? We remember God's Word. We remember that there's always going to be that crowd that is in unbelief, and they're always scoffing and mocking and all those false teachers and all those false doctrines. You can believe that stuff and be discouraged, or you can remember that God's Word is true and He's never failed us yet. I don't think He's going to tomorrow. Amen. In fact, He said He'd never leave us. He'd never forsake us. I believe that to be true. And even if I didn't believe it to be true, it would still be true. Because the Bible says it's true. Amen. And so, praise the Lord for His goodness. So, may the Lord help us to remember that we are on God's time. We're on God's plan and not our own. Now, number four, look at verse number 11. You're still in 2 Peter chapter 3. Remember that we are to be the light of the world. While we're here, while remembering God's Word, while we're among those that are trying to discredit God's Word, we are to continue being the light of the world. Look at this, verse number 11, 2 Peter 3. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Now, holy conversation, that is behavior, that is a manner of life or a conduct that is holy and pleasing to God. Now, it says godliness, that is holiness, reverence, and respect. So, may the Lord help us as believers, even in a time when people are discrediting God and trying to discredit God's Word and trying to mock and ridicule you because you believe in God and want to stand for God. It is no reason for us to let down our guard. It is no reason for us to turn our back on the Lord and turn our back on His Word. We continue to live a holy life in a holy conversation in godliness. Amen. We need some God's people that will be godly in this godless world. Now, look at verse 14. Under the same thing, the same thought, look at verse 14. 2 Peter 3, verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And so it says, be diligent. That means with haste. That means with effort. That means with labor and study. We need to be diligent. And then it says, without spot. May God help us to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. That certainly reminds us of a verse. Hold your place here. 2 Peter, we're going to come right back. Turn over just a few pages backwards to the book of James. James comes before 1 Peter. Look at James chapter 1. Unspotted. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. And I think there's a lot of spotted believers. Amen. Pure religion, verse 27, James 1, verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fathers and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Man, people just love the world and the things of the world and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. And they just run right to the world instead of running to the Lord. And they get all spotted. Listen, remember, you're the light of the world. Your life is reflected upon others. And there are people dependent upon you to be an example of Christ. There are people looking up to you. You have claimed to be a Christian. They want to see a life that is evident of that. A life that is an example of Christ. And so God help us to stay faithful to the things of God. Be blameless. Have a holy conversation. Live in godliness. Be diligent without spot. Now, notice one other word. Look at this. Back in our text here, keep himself, verse number 14, 2 Peter 3:14. Wherefore, my beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, blameless and blameless. Now listen, blameless is not sinless. We understand that. No one is without sin, but as we grow in the Lord and the things of God, we should certainly be living our lives with less blame. Amen. That's what it means, blameless. We certainly should be growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there should certainly be some change in our life, and we ought to be blameless. Now, look at verse 17. We're still in 2 Peter 3. Look at verse 17. Verse 17 says, "Wherefore, or ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." And so, listen, we're talking about remembering that we are the light of the world. We're talking about having a life that is holy and a life that is filled with godliness, a life that is diligent and without spot and blameless. And so here we see the Bible talks about being led away with the error of the wicked. Listen, don't allow yourself to be led away with the error of the wicked. Listen, when this happens, the Bible is very clear what will happen in our life. We will fall from your own steadfastness. You know what that means? It means that you will no longer be faithful to the things of God. And so the Bible says, let me read the verse again. Verse number 17, "You therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." Now, when people begin to fall from their steadfastness, it is me that's describing what's taking place. The Bible has already told us what's taking place. They're being led away with the error of the wicked. It's okay to say amen. I didn't say it. The Bible did. And so there you fall from your steadfast. You no longer are faithful to the things of God. Listen, I love the very next verse. Oh, don't you love the Bible? It gives you these things, and then it tells you what to do instead. Verse number 18 says, "But grow." So don't be led away by the wicked. Don't fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And so may God help us not to be led astray. And help us not to fall from our steadfastness. Instead, let's grow in grace. Let's grow in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why? Because we are supposed to be the light of the world. Amen. Now, so we're remembering God's word. We're remembering that there will always be scoffers and false prophets. We're remembering that we're on God's time, not our own. We remember that we're the light of the world. Now, we should also remember that without a vision, people perish. Look at chapter 2. Chapter 2, all in 2 Peter. Chapter 2, look at verse number 20. The Bible says, 2 Peter 2, verse number 20, "For after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed from her wallowing in the mire." Now, they use this passage. I wanted to say, in this passage of Scripture, these people are not saved. I give you many reasons that we know that. But a lot of people try to use this passage of Scripture to say that you are lost again. But the Bible didn't say anything about them being saved. It said that they had a knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this goes along with that parable. I wish I just now thought about this. Back in the Gospels where that man was doing his own thing, and he came in and he swept his house and it was clean and all that, but it didn't have anything to do with him receiving the Lord. And then those seven spirits worse than that came back. to indwell that place. And so here we have some folks, they have heard of the Savior. They have heard the things of God. They have entered that knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But they had a knowledge of it. Let me show you this again. Hold your place here and come to Hebrews chapter 10. I want to tell you at least one of several reasons why we know these people, this is not someone that's ever been saved. It's because verse number 22 talks about the dog is returned to his own vomit again. The Lord's never referred to his children as dogs, I can tell you that. Look what the Bible says here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. Here's another one of those verses of Scripture that crowd that thinks you can lose your salvation like. The Bible says in verse 26, "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth." It didn't say nothing about them receiving the truth. It didn't say nothing about them receiving Christ. It said they received the knowledge of the truth. So it says, "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin." That's not a complicated verse. There's only one sacrifice for sin. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. You come to a knowledge of the fact that the only way that you can be saved is through and by the Lord Jesus Christ, and you reject that knowledge, there ain't no more sacrifice for you. He's the only Savior. He's the only way of salvation. He's the only acceptable sacrifice. And if you don't receive that sacrifice, you're lost. And there's no hope for you. And so that is akin to what we see here in 2 Peter chapter 2. So we're talking about remembering, without a vision, people perish. And so these folks here, they have never known salvation. And just because they heard the gospel once, twice, three times, or 100 times, whatever the case may be, they reject that truth, they reject that saving knowledge, and they return again to the hog pen of sin. And you know what we are supposed to do? We're to continue to try reaching them. I didn't get saved the first time I heard the gospel, or the second, or the third, or the fourth, or the 25th. I don't know how many times it was. I grew up in church as a child. The Lord dealt with me hundreds of times. At church and away from church, at home, in the living room, during devotions, all kinds of things. And I continued to reject Him. I praise the Lord, He was a merciful God. And so you and I ought to be merciful to others. And so they've heard the gospel once, they've cleaned their house once, they've gone right back to that life of sin, they're right back to that hog pen. Don't give up on them, amen. Look, come to 2 Peter chapter 9. I'll show you why. 2 Peter chapter 3, look at verse number 9. It's the Lord's will that they should be saved. It should be our will that they're saved. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9, the Bible says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Well, I'm glad the Lord is long-suffering. He's not willing that anyone should perish. He's not willing that you perish. He's not willing that anyone else perish. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. So, remember that without a vision, people perish. Now, I like this, number 6, and I'm done. Remember that Jesus is coming. What a blessing, amen. Look at verse number 3. We're right back to 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse number 3. "Knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking in their own lusts." Now notice what they say. And saying, "Where is the promise of His coming?" Those scoffers don't believe He's coming. But I'll tell you this, He is coming. And whatever you do, don't fall into the unbelief of those scoffers, amen. He is coming. I don't know when He's coming. He could come tonight. He might come tomorrow. He may not come for another 100 years. But I know this, He's coming. And I believe He's coming really soon, amen. And I know that all of these, we're not looking for signs. We have a Bible. I know there's a lot of signs concerning the nation of Israel and all that kind of stuff. And all of those signs that are fulfilled and being fulfilled, they're pointing to His second coming, not the rapture. 7 years, He's going to come for us 7 years before all of that even takes place. He can come tonight, amen. Now, I want to show you something. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse number 10. Look at verse number 10. The Bible says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up." Now, I know that this passage is talking about the second coming, not the rapture. I know the rapture. Let me just tell you this. The second coming of Christ is in two parts. There's the rapture and the revelation. Both of those are considered the second coming. They take place at least 7 years apart. the rapture. The Lord is going to step out on the cloud. He's going to say, come up hither. We're going to go up to be with the Lord. We read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and also 2 Thessalonians chapter 4. That's the rapture of the church. We're going to be with Jesus. At least seven years after that, He's coming back to this earth, amen. He's going to set His feet up on the Mount of Olives. He's coming back, and we're coming back with Him, amen. And so this passage is talking about that coming. So the rapture of the church is very near, amen. Could be even today. You know what I say? Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Listen, don't be discouraged. Don't be defeated. There's all kinds of things in the world, and certainly troubles and heartaches and things to be discouraged about. No doubt. But I'll tell you, Jesus Christ is still on the throne. He's still in control. And the world's going to hell, and it's a mess. And I know it is. There's no reason for us to be downtrodden. Our God's still the same. He's not changed. He hasn't forgot us, amen. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. He's going to continue to be our comforter. He's going to continue to be our peace. He's going to continue to be give us the grace that we need. What a blessing to know Jesus, amen. I praise the Lord for His goodness. So there's some things that as believers we need to remember and be reminded of. Father, thank You for the Bible. Thank You for help from Your Word today. You helped us. You helped me. I pray that the sermon was a help and a blessing to others. We sure love You, and we sure thank You for loving us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.